Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Carrie Reynolds, the Clinical Director of Inpatient Oncology Units and the Director of the Severe Immunotherapy Complications Program at Massachusetts General Hospital, about immune checkpoint inhibitor, or ICI-associated myocarditis, and the Phase 3 ATRIUM study of abatacept for the treatment of ICI-associated myocarditis. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Reynolds. Today we're talking about cardiotoxicity, specifically myocarditis. And I was wondering if you can start by talking generally about cardiotoxicity and its prevalence in patients treated with immune checkpoint inhibitors. Right now.
Nicole, thanks for asking. You know, this is a relatively newer field in terms of immune checkpoint inhibitors. The first immune checkpoint inhibitor was approved in 2011, and it has just skyrocketed since that time. So now there are 11 FDA-approved immune checkpoint inhibitors in what is over 20 different types of cancer. There's actually over 85 FDA-approved indications. And so these agents are really, we're starting to use them in an increasing number of patients, which is incredible because it really is a good news story. However, about 1% of the patients, so anywhere from less than 1% to about 1.23% of patients, can develop a very serious reaction or immune-related adverse event of the heart, which is inflammation of the heart called myocarditis. So the entire study is trying to address and develop an evidence base for the treatment of myocarditis.
Thank you. So now can you provide background on the Phase 3 ATRIUM study? What is the importance of this research?
Thank you again for asking that question, because let's back up to think about immune checkpoint inhibitors activate the immune system, but we can get these inflammatory side effects. I talked about just the heart, but there are actually a whole host of immune-related adverse events. And this is relatively new as we start to see patients and treat patients with the adverse events. And there is very little evidence, so very little rigorous study of these immune-related adverse events and how we should be treating them. Currently, the guidelines for most conditions outside of endocrinopathies should be treated with steroids. For example, in the heart one that I talked about, myocarditis, we use high doses of systemic steroids. So the guidelines say for people that are sick enough to be hospitalized, we actually give them a gram of Solu-Medrol a day for 3 to 5 days. Then we switch over to about 1 to 2 mg/kg of steroids, and we keep them on that for over a month, often several months, in order to treat the inflammation of the heart. The problem is, unfortunately, even with that, we still have very bad outcomes. So about 33 to 50% of the patients that have myocarditis can actually develop a very serious major adverse cardiac event. So what are those? Well, that's death, shock, an arrhythmia, or heart failure, or a cardiac arrest. And so 33 to 50%, we feel that is far too many patients. And unfortunately, the mortality rate is quite high in these individuals too. And so that's why we wanted to see if we added on another agent in addition to the steroids. So if we used abatacept in a Phase 3 clinical trial, and we actually randomized the clinical trial to really understand with rigorous evidence if the abatacept could help us in decreasing the major adverse cardiac event rate. So that's the premise of the Phase 3 study.
What is important for other physicians to know about the way this study was designed and the methods used in this study?
Yeah, so I think what is one of the most interesting things is that this is really a collaborative study, because we have a cancer patient that had a cancer drug but developed a cardiovascular event. And I think one of the hearts to know about working in this field is that it really takes collaboration from both oncologists and subspecialists. And so even the trial was designed, and we work as a team for cardiology and oncology. Now, the overall two global PIs are Dr. Tom Nealon and Dr. Paul Ritker, and they are both cardiologists at the Mass General Brigham. But again, each site, so it's now open in 38 sites as of the presentation at ASCO. It will be open in 50 sites around the US and Canada. And it's really this collaborative nature, so all of us working together. when we think about the patient population is quite unique. They had to be sick enough to be admitted to the hospital, and they have to have a troponin, which is a marker of cardiac damage of up over 5 times the upper limit of normal. So these are the sicker individuals with myocarditis. And when we're bringing them in, they have to have a true definition of myocarditis. And we use the ICOS guidelines for the definition of myocarditis, but they have to have a diagnosis. And then they are randomized to either get the steroids. So they already are going to get standard of care. It's not like we're limiting standard of care. And it's randomized to steroids or steroids plus abatacept. The abatacept is given on day 1, day 2, day 14, and then an optional dose at day 28. We follow that patient really closely for the first month, and then we do several check-ins thereafter. But it is for the treatment of the myocarditis. And generally in this period, their cancer treatment is on hold with the immune checkpoint inhibitor.
Thank you, Dr. Reynolds. So looking at the many exploratory outcomes of this study, can you talk about the importance of investigating these?
Yeah, so the primary outcome is very cardiovascular in nature. We know, like I just said at the very beginning, is that the MACE rate, if we do what we're currently doing, the major adverse cardiac event rate can be anywhere from 33 to 50%. So that's the primary outcome, to see if we can decrease that. But there are also very important other outcomes, especially when it comes to what are the effects of how much steroid are we using? What is the underlying, can we save people from being in the hospital? Can we check ctDNA to get a sense of what might be happening in the individual patient in terms of their cancer response? So we're looking at CTA8 and ctDNA at both the very beginning and then at day 28 to see, did that ctDNA level change and how can that help us on an individual patient? So those exploratory outcomes you could see are you know, numerous in number, but it's really to glean as much as we can outside of just the primary outcome with the cardiac MACE rate. I'll also just bring up what is critical in this is that we don't know very much about what is driving myocarditis or what caused myocarditis. And so another key aspect of the study is actually we're able to get tumor tissue. So we get the tumor block, we get the heart tissue if someone had a heart biopsy for the diagnosis of myocarditis, and we're taking study blood throughout the study so that we can really get a better understanding of what is driving it, what is correlated with people that do well versus what is correlated with people that do not.
What is the current status of enrollment for this study, and how do you expect things to progress over the next year?
Yeah, so this is new, right? It was a trials in progress at ASCO, which is incredible. So honestly, the first few months have been trying to open up the sites because it's a considerable effort to open up 50 sites across the United States and Canada. So that was one of the main first hurdles, and that is going extremely well. And the enrollment has started, which is great. Multiple sites have enrolled, so it's really starting to pick up. I think in the coming year, so it's a 5-year study. So in the coming year or so, we suspect that the numbers will increase. But enrollment has started. The enrollments, even at our own institution, have been going well. And so it's off to a great start.
Thank you. Cardiotoxicity is a very significant part of the discussion when we're talking about adverse events from cancer therapy. So if you could leave a message to your peers about the importance of the multidisciplinary approach for treating these patients, what would you say?
This is a big interest of ours at the Massachusetts General Hospital. We started noticing in about 2016, 2017, that there was just an increase in the number of patients that we were seeing in the hospital. So on service, when we were rounding on these patients, and these patients had immune-related adverse events that were quite serious. And so at that time, it wasn't like those drugs were not around before. They were, right? They were approved in 2011, but that was really the impetus about 2016, 2017 for us, that we just started seeing additional patients. And we thought we need to step back and think about reorganizing the way we take care of these patients, because any particular patient could have an inflammation of the heart. That's what we're talking about in terms of myocarditis. But more commonly, they can have dermatological conditions, they can have GI conditions, endocrine, they can have lung or, you know, muscle, lungs, and so on. So it really does affect nearly every organ system. So we tried to pull together people from actually over 10 divisions of medicine and 6 other departments in our hospital to come together as a hybrid group, both clinicians as well as scientists, so that we can start to understand immune-related adverse events. And we have found that that multidisciplinary approach is absolutely critical in both the clinical care and the science. So much so that some of the papers that have come out of that group show that with consultation, we can actually have improved outcomes. So we can have improved length of stay, as well as there's also been data to show that more people can continue on immune checkpoint inhibitor therapy. And so that multidisciplinary nature is really critical. That's why the trial was set up to have cardiology and oncology working closely together. And I think we're seeing now when we're starting to enroll these patients, a patient with myocarditis can come into the hospital and they could be in the emergency room. They could be on the oncology floor. They could be on the cardiology floor. Sometimes the cardiac and the inflammation of the heart overlaps with neurological immune-related adverse events. So they could be on the neuro floor. And we're learning more than ever in this space, the multidisciplinary nature is truly critical. So everyone can weigh in for the best outcome of the patient.
Is there anything else you think is important to add to this discussion?
Looking forward.
I just think it's awareness. So I appreciate you conducting this interview. And I think I appreciate ASCO for accepting that poster presentation as well. It was great to have the dialogue with people stopping by the poster, because I think just increasing awareness that we are studying this event in a rigorous fashion with a randomized clinical trial is going to be key, because making sure that we can hit our accrual numbers and finish this trial so that we can learn more about this disease, about the treatment, and also the mechanisms are going to be essential. And that's because there's very few so far. This is really one of the first large randomized clinical trials in this space. And so if we want to have additional others to develop the evidence base that we need for immune-related adverse events, we all kind of got to rally around this one. And with it being at almost 50 sites in the end across US and Canada, I would just ask people to search out what might be a site near you if you come across one of these uncommon patients, and how can you collaborate and think about, in a sense, would it make sense to go to that academic institution for a transfer for some of these patients in order to make sure that we can learn as much as possible if patients are willing and engaged.